One wild ride.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. I dare say the Chinese stock market is like riding a mechanical bull. Not that I've ridden one, but the ups and downs look brutal. Today, China's main index plunged more than 8%. Last week, Shanghai set a record on Tuesday, then dove 6% on Wednesday. Our correspondent Scott Tong joins us from Shanghai. Scott, what's behind all this volatility?
Well, we have to remember the Chinese stock market has just soared in the last year and a half. And there are a lot of rumors now about whether the government is going to intervene and how. Now, last week, the government took this stock trading tax and they tripled it and the market fell. And there's been talk of another tax coming on capital gains. So there's this big rumor mill going on. Now, I talked to one analyst and he said, you never know. It could be that today is June 4th, which is the 18th anniversary of the Tiananmen Square massacre, and people get nervous on days like this. Another rumor said it could be the lunar calendar, and this is a bad astrological day. So you may never know on any particular day.
But at the same time, you have the other Asian markets had gains today. European shares are up a little bit. So other investors don't seem to care that much about the Chinese plunge. Why not?
Well, you'll remember in February, the whole rest of the world cared a whole lot.
Right.
When the Chinese market plunged more than 9%, the rest of the world flipped out. Now, at the time, a lot of people were saying, let's pay attention to China's stock market. It is largely closed off to foreign investors. The stock market doesn't necessarily reflect the Chinese economy. So some people are saying, you know, the world has learned, the world is paying attention to what's really happening in China.
All right, Scott Tong in Shanghai, thanks so much.
All right, Scott, thanks.
As I said, other markets seem to be ignoring China, and there's a good chance Wall Street will too. The Dow begins the week at another all-time high, 13,668. The S&P 500, same thing, lifetime high, 1536. The NASDAQ is nowhere near its peak from the dot-com boom. It begins at 2614.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
So last week, the S&P 500 finally returned to its record high set back in 2000. Our man on Wall Street, Alan Sloan, says there's a difference between this S&P and that one.
The difference is in 2000, and I have these numbers hot off the presses at S&P. In 2000, the index was selling at 25 and a half times the earnings of the S&P 500, which is an enormous number. As of Wednesday, it was selling at 17 times profits, which means there's much less excess in the market now than there was in 2000. And in 2000, even I, who were very reluctant to make market calls, I was saying, this is insane and this is going to end.
Well, let me see if I get this straight. You're saying that it's a leaner, meaner S&P 500 that's more accurate?
Well, it's certainly leaner and meaner and less risky. I'm not telling you it's not risky. It's much less risky now than it was in 2000. In 2000, I was fleeing the S&P 500 as a personal investor, and now I'm not.
What do you think has kept the broader market, the S&P 500, lagging behind the Dow?
The Dow has got only 30 stocks in it, and there are all sorts of fluky things. And technology, which is where the excesses were in 2000 in the S&P,
right.
Technology was a much smaller part of the Dow in 2000 than it was of the S&P. So the excesses were less and the fall was less. It's just fascinating to me that, you know, it's taken 7 years to get back here, which is an awfully long time. I mean, do you know how much more hair I had 7 years ago than I do now? And my teeth were all of my own back then and everything. On the other hand, I'm not going to be able to write my column saying the S&P, you know, still below where it was. So I'll have to actually look for other work.
Speaking of looking for other work, you've already found it.
Well, that's true. Come July, I'm going to have left Newsweek, where I've had a lot of fun for 12 years, and I'm going to be a senior editor at large at Fortune, but I hope my attitude doesn't change.
It wouldn't be the same without the attitude, Alan.
Right. Well, maybe my next job could be the founding editor of Attitude magazine.
Well, congratulations on the job, and we'll look forward to continuing this while you're at Fortune.
It sounds good. I'll see you sometime in July then.
Alan Sloan, formerly of Newsweek, soon to be with Fortune.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by The Economist magazine, which tells not only what's happening around the world each week, but why. The Economist, at newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. The Marketplace Health Desk is supported by the Commonwealth Fund, a private foundation working toward a high-performance health system. On the web at commonwealthfund.org.
Out here in California, it's just so dry. Wildfires are a huge threat all over the West, and homeowners are facing big hikes in their insurance premiums. Here's Marketplace's Bob Moon with more.
It's undeniable that more homes are being built in riskier areas.
Mandatory evacuation is in effect.
The number of homes in wildfire red zones is up to 6 million in California alone. Some analysts say Hurricane Katrina caused insurers to realize the risks they had put on their books. Candace Miller heads the Insurance Information Network of California.
There have been dramatic disaster losses, and certainly we don't want to exacerbate that by letting wildfire conditions get out of control.
Miller argues the industry is just promoting common sense precautions. Carmen Balber of the Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights says some of them make sense, but others are unfair, such as demands to clear brush beyond property lines. At excessively high premiums, she says, and it suggests something else is going on.
We see time and again an attempt by the industry to cherry pick or to choose only the most desirable customers, those who will never file a claim.
She says homeowners can often find a better rate by just shopping around. In Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
And I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your Monday.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.